Hello and welcome to Tramlink's Time Travelling Tram, a very modern journey into history. Brought to you in association with the Croydon Citizen News Magazine. Our journey takes us back to prehistoric times, where we'll discover a dinosaur named after Croydon, and to the Middle Ages when the bones of soldiers who fought for King Henry III were discovered here, and another Henry, this time the 8th, who brought Catherine of Aragon to his summer palace. Then we'll fast forward to a Monty Python film set, the starting point of the world's first iron railway, and the fast-changing Croydon of the present day. Each summer, Croydon celebrates its fascinating past at the Heritage Festival, but our living history is all year round. Whether you live here or you're just visiting, you're a part of it as you journey on the time-travelling tram. As the doors close, press play for the next instalment of your time-travelling tram podcast. Enjoy the ride. This is Sandylands, where our journey back in time begins, an incredible 55 million years ago. When Tramlink was built, around the turn of the millennium, some of its tracks were laid on the site of former railway lines and excavation work took place. It was a great chance to look into the past, and in October 1998, clay from this area was examined for fossils. Over 100 years before, in 1873, a fossil had been found here. It was a gigantic, flightless, flesh-eating bird called Gastornis clarsenii. Now came another exciting discovery. This time a mammal, which was given the name Coryphodon croydonensis. There was even more to the story. Etchings on the surface of its teeth showed it had been eaten and digested by a larger predator. The gigantic bird and the mammal were found at exactly the same site. So it's amazing to think that right here, by an ancient waterhole in Croydon, 55 million years ago, one of these prehistoric creatures might have eaten the other for lunch. This is Lebanon Road, nowadays a residential area just east of Croydon town centre. But imagine the magnificent deer park which once stretched here for 227 acres and the Archbishops of Canterbury who came to hunt. A house was built for the park keepers in what's now Stanhope Road. The most famous park keeper to live there was Sir William Walworth, who killed Wat Tyler, the leader of the peasants' revolt, in 1381. As the centuries passed, the deer park was gradually replaced by farming and racing. Croydon even had a racecourse on the land around Chichester Road and Selborne Road. Today, it's the site of Archbishop Tenison's High School, the oldest continuously existing school in the world for both boys and girls. The school was founded in 1714 by Archbishop Thomas Tenison, at a time when it was very unusual for girls to receive education at all, let alone for them to do so alongside boys. This is East Croydon. 71,000 passengers a day pass through East Croydon station, and it's the country's third busiest non-terminal railway station. From here, you're just 13 minutes from the centre of London and just 35 minutes from the coast on the London to Brighton line, which opened in 1841. The distinctive modern station was designed by Alan Brooks and replaced the red brick Victorian structure in 1992. Look to your left as we pick up speed along George Street, and you'll see an unusual statue of a man on a horse jumping over a real hedge. It's called Jorrocks, but is Jorrocks the horse or the rider? Jorrocks was the name of a famous Victorian racehorse, but also the name of a character created by the Victorian sports writer Robert Smith Surtees. As we cross the main road, look left, and you'll catch a glimpse of Croydon's more recent history. Punk rock was born here in the 1970s, and opposite the famous Fairfield Halls was the Greyhound Club, later renamed the Blue Orchid, where Roxy Music played for a tenor, Freddie Mercury smashed up a piano, and the manager once cancelled the Sex Pistols because he didn't want to be spat on. The Fairfield Halls opened in 1962, taking its name from its site, which was known as the Fair Field. David Bowie, Elton John, Status Quo, and the international cellist Jacqueline Dupre are among a host of performers who've taken to its stage. And punk rockers Captain Sensible and Rat Scabies worked there as cleaners before they were famous. Further down, we'll see the George Pub on our right. In Victorian times, the landlady of the original George is rumoured to have done away with a number of her guests, then got rid of the bodies by boiling them, giving her the nickname Old Mother Hot Water. This is George Street, in the middle of the town centre. As we leave the tram stop, look right and you'll see the Whitgift Almshouses, built in 1596. When its foundations were dug, workmen found bones and skulls of soldiers who died in a battle in 1264, when King Henry III's men killed a band of Londoners returning from the Battle of Lewes. The almshouses are still home to 15 elderly residents, so visiting times are restricted, but tours run several times a year and during the Croydon Heritage Festival. Through the windows of the almshouses chapel, you see not heads and faces of passers-by, but their legs and feet, showing how much George Street has risen in five centuries. By Victorian times, there was terrible overcrowding here, with an average of 24 people living in each house in a maze of narrow streets. Along with poor sanitation, this spread diseases such as cholera and typhoid, and a particularly severe outbreak of typhoid swept through Croydon in 1852. The local Board of Health went looking for a bad smell, believed at the time to cause the disease, but these diseases were waterborne, and the true cause was sewage seeping into the water supply. Many houses around Crown Hill and Church Street were later demolished in a programme of slum clearance. To our left, as we go down the hill, we can look along Surrey Street, one of the oldest fruit and vegetable markets in England, which was granted its royal charter in 1276. This is Church Street, and to our left, as we leave this tram stop, we can see Croydon Minster, known as Croydon Parish Church of St John the Baptist, until it was promoted to a minster in 2011. There's been a church here for 1,000 years, but in 1867 a terrible fire burned the original building to the ground. It started on Saturday the 5th of January after a gas stove overheated. It was snowing and the water supply was turned off at night in cold weather to avoid burst pipes. Believe it or not, back in those days, Croydon had two rival fire brigades who competed to be first to fires, so both of them rushed to the scene, but neither of them remembered to turn the water supply back on. By the time the hoses were working, it was too late. The highly inflammable wooden roof, which had been varnished and sealed with turpentine, was ablaze, and the building was almost completely destroyed. Six archbishops of Canterbury still lie in that 1,000-year-old graveyard. The grave of Archbishop Sheldon was damaged in the fire, and it's claimed that his ghost haunted the site until the grave was restored. Another is that of Archbishop Whitgift, whose name lives on in Croydon's schools and almshouses, and even in its modern-day shopping centre. Close to the minster is the old palace. These days it's a school, but in Tudor times it was used by royalty, including King Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, who hunted on nearby Duppas Hill. Queen Elizabeth I also stayed here, and it's said that she danced in its gallery with her favourite courtiers. There are more rumours of hauntings too. The ghost of another archbishop, William Laud, was said to have been seen in the palace after he was executed for treason in 1645. Whether or not there were ghosts, the living residents of Croydon were always delighted to be visited by royalty or by leading churchmen. Whoever was around, it meant hunting, banqueting and a lot of expense, greatly to the benefit of local business. We're at Wandle Park, and to our right we can see Croydon's River Wandle. From the 1960s until 2013, the Wandle ran underground, where it was channelled when Croydon was rebuilt after heavy wartime bombing. But in the summer of 2013, thanks to funding from the Heritage Lottery, the river returned and was celebrated with a festival in the park. Why was Croydon bombed so heavily? Part of the reason was the industry here, but the other was Croydon's airport. For decades, it was called London Airport, where anyone wealthy and glamorous enough to fly would arrive in Britain. Then, during the war, it became a major RAF base, and so it was targeted for bombing. So the next time you catch a plane, remember that Croydon Airport is where air traffic control and the international Mayday, Mayday distress call were invented. You can visit Croydon Airport on the first Sunday of each month, and there are extra opening times during the Heritage Festival each summer. We're at Wadden Marsh, and as this tram stop's name suggests, we were once surrounded by water. Local street names preserve its memory. One of the nearby roads is called Pitlake. And 200 years ago, rivers meant industry. The Wandle was one of the country's first industrial rivers, beginning back in the 1600s. By 1805, it was described as the hardest worked river in the world for its size. An incredible 40 factories stood along its banks in just 12 miles. That's one every third of a mile. There were mills grinding corn, tobacco and gunpowder, as well as three oil mills, a paper mill, a copper works, an iron works, textile works and a brewery. But there was a problem. Despite the many goods being produced, the Wandle is narrow and wasn't navigable by boat. How were the goods to be transported? The answer was rail, and the world's first iron railway, built by the Surrey Iron Railway Company, opened here in 1803, running close to the Wandle's banks, all the way up to Wandsworth. But even the iron railway wasn't enough. The country was at war with France, and it was dangerous to transport people or goods along the English Channel. So in 1801, the Croydon Canal Company was founded. It took 8 years to build and opened on the 22nd of October 1809 with a 21-gun salute. Then the owners of the company sailed from Sydenham to West Croydon on a barge decorated with flags. When the barge entered West Croydon Basin, a band struck up "God Save the King." Church bells rang and a large crowd cheered enthusiastically. Speeches were made toasting the union of the River Thames with the English Channel, thanks to the Croydon Canal. We're at Ampere Way, and to our left are the giant towers of what's nowadays the IKEA Superstore. They're all that remains of two massive power stations, Croydon A and Croydon B, which provided electricity to South London from 1896 to 1984. They were coal-fired, no worries about being carbon neutral in those days, and the coal was shunted onto the site by a fleet of three steam locomotives at first, then after the 1960s, by diesel engines. Croydon A was one of the last power stations in the country to use a wooden cooling tower until it was finally closed in 1973. It's the electricity generated here that gives the tram stop its name. Amperes, usually called amps, are how we measure electricity. Luckily for us, those looming South London power stations aren't just a memory. This site was used by Monty Python's Terry Gilliam when he filmed Brazil here in 1985. The film starred Jonathan Pryce, Robert De Niro and Bob Hoskins. The footage of the enormous abandoned interiors on screen still remind us of the size and power of Croydon B. And now we're at Therapia Lane. The 21st century is all around, with business parks, industrial units and dual carriageways. The tram stop's name is all that remains of the beautiful place this once was. For centuries, lavender and peppermint grew in the fields. Just imagine the wonderful smell. To make therapeutic oils still used in treatments today. The lavender growers worked here until Victorian times, and there are still Croydon lavender fields, just down the road in Carshalton. Just ahead, there's also Tramlink HQ, where the trams are serviced and garaged overnight, and there's a chance to tour the depot during the Croydon Heritage Festival each June. The depot is Tramlink's eyes and ears. CCTV cameras keep watch over the network to make sure all its 32 million passengers a year travel safely. And the team stands by in the control room, ready to take action if there's a disruption to your journey. We've reached the end of our journey on Croydon's time-travelling tram. I hope you've enjoyed hearing about the history of the ancient town of Croydon. Keep your eyes peeled for glimpses of our extraordinary past, and you'll spot them everywhere. This podcast was written and narrated by Liz Shepherd-Jones. On behalf of Tramlink and the Croydon Citizen News magazine, enjoy the rest of your day.